And let's pray. Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, that we'd be blessed and encouraged by it. Lord, thank God that you have given us the ability to sing. You've given us the ability to sing praises unto your name and glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for the girls singing tonight. Thank you we can come to you, Lord God. And Lord, so many times in this old world, that's the only place we can go, just to you. Lord, now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about singing. Three times you'll notice, sing, sing, sing. That is what this psalm begins. He calls for joyful worship because all glory belongs to him. Then he says, give, give, give. That is how the psalm continues. Let's call us a joyful worship because all gifts belong to God. And then he says, let. And that is how the psalm ends. It calls us to a joyful worship because all government belongs to him. Now, whether there are some people in government today that believe that they're the only one to do it, I'm telling you what, do they have a rude awakening coming to them? Amen. Aren't you glad about that? My, what a mess. I was in the sheriff's office today, and that's all they're doing, chirping about this stuff. Chirp, chirp, chirping, you know. Man, where's our country going? Man, what does he think he's doing? What does they think they're doing? What does she think she's doing? Are you kidding me? That's all they're doing, just yuck, 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 the whole time I was there. And pretty interesting. Let me tell you something. God is still on the throne. And there are things in God's providence that God allows so that the whole thing can get done right. All things work together for good to them that love God and them called according to his purpose. Not every incidental thing seems like a good thing, but all of it works together for good. And sometimes you get very discouraged. And may I say, a lot of people are very distracted what they're supposed to be doing right now. There's distraction in jobs. There's a distraction in finances. There's distraction in life. People are distracted. All they can think about, all they can talk about is the financial cliff. Or all they're talking about is the Obamacare. And who cares? But anyway, you know, all this stuff. And boy, everybody just... Let me ask you this. Be honest with me. How many of you this week have said somebody complaining or griping about something like that? Would you raise your hand? Oh, thank you. I thought maybe your hand wasn't working. I see everybody's hands except most people's hands. And people are very concerned, aren't they? And to be honest, they should have a right to be concerned. And our country is not going the way that... I read a deal yesterday that said that only 14 people missed work at the inauguration. How many got that? Thank you. It means that they don't have a job. But anyway. Trying to help you out there, folks. Amen. So we need to sing, sing, sing. Amen. All right. This is one of the great Hebrew songs, and it celebrates the coming reign of Christ, and it's what we call another theocratic or a coronation psalm, like others. The particular collection, it seems as though, is written, chosen, especially to celebrate their emancipation of Israel from the Babylonian captivity and coming to the new temple of Jerusalem. And the recreation Hebrews saw this stirring event of God's sovereignty over the kingdom and assurance that one day he would establish on earth a kingdom stretching from pole to pole, from sea to sea, from river to the end of the earth, and he's going to set it up. One of the interesting highlights of the psalm is that it contains the center verse of the Bible. if you put your hand right exactly in there. And if you don't have a lot of writings and things like that, and if you just had a plain Bible that doesn't have a lot of notes and things, it's exactly right in the middle. 96:11. So if you're looking for the center of your Bible, and it's very interesting, listen to what it says. Let the heathens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. There is something fitting in that. At the very heart of the Bible, it calls for this planet to lift up his voice in joyful song. That is what God plans in the coronation day when he comes again. I don't know about you, but I'm really looking for that day. I'm really looking for the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. I've always seemed like it ever since I was a young kid, look for the Lord coming back. My wife didn't. She prayed that God had let her live, and he wouldn't come back until she found out who she was going to get married to. And then after she married this wonderful, tall, dark, and handsome guy, she'd start praying again. And she prayed, God, I really want you to come back, but could you wait until I see my first baby? And then the second one came, and then the third one came, and then she started praying, Lord, I want to go home, but can you wait until I see my first grandbaby? Now, how many's in that area right there? Yeah. You are sickening. You ought to see this guy with his baby. Oh, my goodness. It just, oh. Whew. Good thing you only have one kid, man. You'd be out of your mind. But anyway, it's a wonderful thing to have grandkids. Why do we have these in the first place? Amen? You know. But then you get, when they start acting up, you can take them home. Amen. And they need an oil change, filter, give them to their parents. Amen. But anyway. I'm glad the Lord's coming back. I'm glad that she's coming back. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for spring. Don't you love it when the green grass comes and it rains and everything gets so nice and the lilacs start coming and it dries out and the sun comes out and you can drive your motorcycle? How many's looking for that? Amen. First of all glory belongs to the Lord. That's what he says. If you're taking notes, that'd be all glory belongs to God. Psalm 96, 1 through 6. The psalmist begins with a threefold invitation to the Lord's people to sing. God wants his people to sing and to be happy. God wants us to sing. There's nothing like being around people that sing. I don't care if they can't carry a tune in a bucket. I don't care if they sound like the tune the old cow dying on. I don't care if they just, I mean, the only singer they have in their house is a soul machine. I don't care. It is something about someone who sings. Singing in the shower. Singing work. Singing at play. Singing fishing, amen. Singing in the truck. There ain't nothing like sitting in a truck riding down the road, that big old truck, and you hear that harmony of that engine roaring, and there is a tune to that music. Amen. Yes, there is, isn't there, sister? You sing? Good. Amen. She drives one of them great big 18-wheelers. Oh, you got them little steering wheel on, huh? Yeah. She's been Poodle Bay up in that ice. Yeah, went through that ice road, you know, they drive over the ice. There she is right there. Amen. But anyway, you pray for her. She's having some health problems right now. God would certainly heal her body. But anyway, there's something about it. When I was riding a tractor, old John Deere tractor, man, putting along, amen. It's got a note. You can hear it. And when I was just a teenager, I was sitting out on that tractor just driving across that old field. Man, I spent all my summers on a tractor, just putting along, amen. Well, actually, I'd go the fast I could. My daddy didn't catch me, amen. And I pulled that tractor into down our lane and pulled in the house and by the barn and got off. And my cousin Elizabeth Raymond was there. And she's talking to my daddy. She said, "Claire, I didn't know you had a radio." This is before. I mean, it was really something if you had a radio in your tractor. And we didn't have no radio in our tractor. We're lucky we had lights on our tractor, amen. But she said, "I didn't know you had a radio on your tractor." My daddy said, "It doesn't." She said, "I swear I heard music when Sheldon drove by our house a couple times." I'm standing there and I'm going, "Oh, no." Exit stage left to the right. I was to the barn, amen. But I was singing on that old tractor, amen. You ought to have a song in your heart. You ought to have something to sing about. Amen. You know, somebody pulls out in front of you, "Dear God, take them home," amen. But anyway, you ought to have a song in your heart, amen. Well, the glory belongs to God. The psalm begins a threefold invitation. The Lord's people are to sing. God wants his people to be happy. Do you hear me now? God wants you to be happy. If you're not happy, there's something wrong. Hey! If you're not happy, there's something wrong in your heart. Do you hear me? If you're not happy, there's something wrong in your heart. Something wrong. God gave us laughter. Now I know that some of you people think your horse will laugh at you. You know. And you think that monkeys laugh. They don't have a sense of humor. Only God's people have a sense of humor. Only the mankind has a sense of humor. That's a difference. That's a difference between us. We have a sense of humor. We see people fall down. We laugh at them. Sense of humor. You know, we people do stupid stuff. Laugh at it. You know, you watch all this crazy stuff on YouTube. Guys falling down on their motorcycle. And you say, "What an idiot!" You know, that kind of stuff. You know, we have a sense of humor. We can see something, we'll laugh about it. The other night, my wife and I went out to a party with some of the detectives and guys from the sheriff's office, and one guy had a party for his dog, and so we went to see Hank's birthday party. Well, when I was there, we were sitting there. It's really getting loud. A lot of guys there, a lot of gals there, and really loud. And it's hard for Marcia sometimes to sit around a lot of noise people when you have a brain injury. That's tough on. And I said to her, I says, we'd already ate something. And I said, "You ready to go home?" "Yeah, let's go home." I said, "Okay." Well, then one of the deputies walked in. Her name is Kelsey. And another deputy's wife came in. And they came right over to Marcia and started talking to her because they know Marcia. They see her every once in a while. And they hugged on her, and she hugged on them and all that. And I says, and a little bit later, I said, "Honey, you ready?" "No," she says, "the party's getting a little more interesting." And I laughed, you know. And that is humor that we enjoy, amen? Well, the same way God created us to sing. We're not supposed to sing. We're supposed. I know the birds whistle. And it's all a minor tune if you listen very carefully. It's all minor. But the human, we sing in a major octave, a major note, and we harmonize, and we enjoy that time, and we enjoy singing. And God wants us to be happy. God never intended man to be not happy. He wants us to be happy. I mean, we have enough bad stuff happen to us. There's got to be some happy time to us. Amen? You know, you cry a lot, they say, you laugh a lot. Amen? And you need that. That's a balance. God didn't put those tear ducts in there just to have. He put them there so you get that tears out of your eyes. Amen? And flow it in. Amen? And so many times we aren't happy. We ought to be around happy people. Alan Ladd, I think it was Alan Ladd, who had the funny, what was the name, Candid Camera. How many remember Candid Camera? It's kind of like Funny's Home Videos now. But they go out and they stage stuff. they put guys inside of a mailbox, and when the mail would go in, they'd say thank you, and boy, people would jump back, and you got their expression, you know. And they do all kinds of crazy stuff. Alan Ladd got cancer, bad cancer, real bad. He's very sick. Somehow, and by the way, he was a Jewish man, somehow somebody reminded him in the scripture about a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And somebody in his production took a bunch of the funniest videos that they had, movies they had taken. I mean, hours of them. And at his, in his room where he was taking some things for cancer, they started playing these things. He lived, I don't know how many more years because of that, they said. Because of that. Hey, you got to be happy. There's something, you know, something inside. We just, you know, I just laughed so hard the other day I could shook hands with you and healed you right there. Amen. I had so much. Amen. But anyway, well, here it is. Number one, what do we sing about? Well, the psalmist had no dearth of idea about what he should sing. He had no idea what he should sing. He said, we should sing a new song. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. The angels sang a song when they watched the mighty God, Creator, create this universe. What a sight it must have been. First, there was nothing, just a black void, limitless expanse of space. Then, with a prodigious and inconceivable almighty burst of energy, the whole thing exploded into being. Stars and suns and whirling satellites and galaxy and constellation, hydrogen, helium, and all hurling headlong into a vast expanse until the emptiness was alive and dancing world of ablaze with lights. Wow. Can you imagine that? God spoken. Poof! That was there. Amen. Wow. That's great. Amen. Is it getting interesting or not? You going to stay a while? Okay, good. Amen. So, the world's ablaze with light, burning with energy, poised and balanced. Thank God for the balance. Amen. Aren't you glad about the balance? I should have rolled it down. I forget how fast this old Earth spins around the sun. I forget how many. It's almost like 40,000 miles an hour or something like that, and then something else, and the axis and all kinds of stuff. It's a crazy thing. And then the moon, he goes slinging around there too, amen. And when he slings, he brings the water with him and pushes the water away, amen. It's an amazing thing, amen. And it governs in flexible laws, rejoicing to do his will. The Bible says this world, this universe, does the will of God. No wonder the seraphim sang. I've told you this before. How many have done it? How many have gone into your internet and looked up the Hubble Space Telescope and looked at the pictures? One of you. Good. Go on, look at them. It's the most incredible thing you've ever seen. Marvelous beauties that are just, well, you just can't explain it. Israel sang another song while they were at the sea. Remember? Who's coming at them? Pharaoh and his armies coming at him with the chariots. They sang a song of Moses. Pharaoh and his hosts had been drowned in the depths of the sea and swept away, and Israelites stood last, free of Egypt, faced toward the promised land, hearts overflowing with joy, redeemed by the blood, baptized onto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, soon to be gathered around the table in the wilderness and heading for home. No wonder they sang. No wonder they sang. I'm sure Mrs. Hobbs is singing. She should be getting on the airplane right now at Salt Lake City. They had a mechanical failure yesterday, couldn't come home, and, you know, I'm glad I'm not the ticket agent. But anyway. I'm sure they're singing coming home, amen. The redeemed are to sing a new song in glory. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ will step into the spotlight of eternity, take the seven-sealed scroll from him that sits upon the throne, and will be recognized at the seat of power as the only one fit to govern this earth. The moment He takes the scroll, the joy bells ring in heaven, and they sing a new song. It is the song of the Lamb. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood. Revelation 5:9. Boy, what a time that's going to be. Amen. I should breathe. You're going to grab an angel horn and start playing it. Amen. I'm going to grab me one too. Amen. Then I won't make a mistake up there. Amen. This new song is the song of millennial earth. This is the song that redeemed the remnant of Israel. The nation will sing as they march away from the valley of Jehoshaphat to take possession of a renewed and replenished earth. The Bible says this earth is going to be like the Garden of Eden. It is full of expansion. An expansion of a new song raises a little band of appreciated Jews gathered into their built that new temple amid the ruins of the rubble of Jerusalem. It is a song of hope. It is a song on the Lord Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. It is a song of the Lord of all the earth, and all the earth is invited to harmonize the hymn. The curse of Babel is renewed. Universal hymn of praise to the true and living God will fill the world with a great song, and all of us singing in the same language. Amen. Secondly, it's a necessary song. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation unto the day to day. From day to day, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all the people. No wonder so many of the commentators remind us that this is essentially a missionary hymn. If we had no other verse in the Bible but this one to teach us our duty to the lost and pagan world, this would be enough. The question is, how can we sit and bathe in the full light of the gospel? Ransomed, restored, forgiven, heaven-born, and heaven-bound, and be content to sit in the pew and sing our song when millions lie in darkness and under the shadow of death. I just received remember John Nelms came to our church? I don't remember. You remember him not. He's the one that was with the Saudi Arabia and Iraq, Iran, and boy, a lot of things he can't tell you. And they've got missionaries galore over there right now, underground, telling people about Christ. They caught one of the preachers the other day and killed his three sons in front of him, and then killed his wife, and then killed him. And it's happening all the time. And someone asked John, says, what the rest of them do? Says, hey, we're going to heaven anyway. We just got to tell them. It's our job. And so many times we sit so refreshed and so happy, we think we really did it by coming Wednesday night church, and thank God you did come. Well, we really done something. And the lost world out there they don't even have the Bible written in their language. This is a necessary song to be taught to the tribes of the earth so that they know the Lord. Be where we should sing. Declare His glory among the heathen. We mass our choir, have a song fest. We publish song books to provide new phrases and melodies of our service. But how can we do that after week without the thought? There are some who know no song at all. I had a service for a lady on Saturday. I said, you remember the scriptures that your mom or dad probably told you? For God so loved the world. Usually when I say that, I watch people and you'll see them mouth it. I didn't see one person in that funeral mouth, for God so loved the world. We are not that America that we used to be. The churches today are changing their anthems and their hymns to quote-unquote country western rock and roll music. There's going to be an age where someone will come up and say, "Hey, do you remember that song?" They said, "No, I never heard it." I was at a church service a while back, and the pastors and the praise team people said, "Well, let's sing one of them oldie but goodies, Power in the Blood." I don't know about you, but I'm not comfortable at all when I'm in one of them services. I want to hear something that came from revival, but something from came from the book, not seven times the same words 11 times. I'm not poking fun. I'm just telling you the fact. It's not to be, you know, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's take off our shoes and praise Him. Raise our hands and praise Him. And on it goes. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, next time you go to one of those things, watch your watch, tell me how much time the preacher has to preach the Word of God. Probably 15 minutes out of the 45. 45 is singing, jumping around, dancing, showing off themselves. Why should we sing? Why should we sing? First of all, psalmist lists three motives. Verse 4, fear the Lord. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. After all, I fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we get to know Him better, we love Him, but a healthy fear of the Lord is where we often begin. That is why the very first work of the Holy Spirit in the human heart is the work of our conviction. The Lord Jesus Christ said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. He convicts of the nature of sin, the need for righteousness, and the nearness of judgment. Heathens fear their false gods. They grovel in the abstract terror for most of them, and as well they might, for grim and gory they are. The Lord does not want that. He does not want us to grovel. He wants respect, born of conviction and knowledge of the wisdom and love and the power. Secondly, the fact of the Lord. For all the gods and nations are idols. The word the psalmist used here for gods, G-O-D-S, is derived from the usual word God, L, but it employs a negative participle, and the word literally means God or good for nothing, or even more especially, nothing. The gods of the nations are good for nothing. They are nothing. They are non-entities. They are non-existent except in the enslaved imagination of those who worship them. You shouldn't get scared of the idols that people have. You have a holy God. Greater is He that is in you, He that is in the world. In contrast, the Lord made the heavens. Here is a motive for song. We are touched with reality and the true living God, with whose God, whose omnipotent power created the heavens and earth. Well, I took a couple of your minutes here. Let's stand and be dismissed.